The first one is called The first one is called Sense. I floated within myself, the glimmer of whiskey over eyes. I moved silently, creeping up on my thoughts like a thief. I saw the image of you, flowing hair and the sense of what is to be. I painted you and caught you in my imagination, sensing the echo of some primordial sense that cascaded through the fabric of mind like white water river rushing. I saw within and without, a thousand translations that marched through some tablet of earth to the dawn of the coming day. Each form of colliding history that sank the gods to move to earth's reality. I held your hand for a second and spiraled through each dream. That splintered open the night and cast moon shimmer on the water. That became all and disappeared through the silent moth flight of virtual moments through which imagination cast her net into the sea and the salt water sparkled its onto you, forming over and over the distant taste of salt on our tongues and a rush of sea wind through our hair. The sea breathing its own scent, painting its own memories through the salt stains on the rocks, existing through the wind rush and the crashing of the surf. I caught your hand and said, let us be wild for a bit. Let us spiral in the crashing eternity that breaks around us. The wind chasing us and we chasing it. The forms to which the cry of the rising seagull takes our thoughts upon its wings and dives into the water. I moved to paint you, again, the flow of your hair. I existed through the windswept motion, salt breath and the definition that rushed to greet us. The sun shattering us with its rays. The glimmer of the water calling us towards the sense of dancing like paradise. The existences that made us fusing and separating through some particle dance. One becomes the other and the other becomes one. I drew your name in the silver sand and watched the sea run over it. The rising erased for the memory in every wave beat, in every ebb and flow of tide, existing in the dream of its eternity. That scattered cool on our foreheads like summer rain, that flickered with the fishes, that caught at the splintering sunlight and made us its own. This one is called Thinker. Concepts spread across my floor like yesterday's newspapers. I walked slowly through the forest and found through the leaves as they crunched underfoot the songline that gave birth to me as I entered the world screaming. I moved through the taste, the form like that beaded like dew, that formed through some ambrosial intoxication through which I swirled towards heaven, creating and refuting, painting each Plato's cave on the wall as some tube train station. I watched the people move according to the mechanisms that define them, the flow of our money through some London street that calls to its own oblivion. I watched the cider drinker watch me, the definitions of life held for a moment in a can of grumpy jack, definitions and reputations swirling above our heads through the flight of the pigeons. I motioned within and without of myself, imagining all that existed, all that really existed, was a can of grumpy jack, within each sip a motion to history's dance. I imagined the stallholders of some shattered Baghdad market, counting bodies like it had become routine. I smelled the scent of scrumpy jack and played delirious tunes to myself, manufacturing reasons, the Baghdad market fulfilling its own reasons, an image of El Qaeda on the shelves of collapsing shops that sing their own hymns to their own particular history. I moved through the halls of Spain, scrumpy jack oozing out of their pictures of Reagan, Thatcher, Bush. We were right to go to war in Iraq. The can of scrumpy jack contains it all, seeking for some fixation that makes it all okay. The crying child and shrapnel and finger, slowly bleeding some Ray-Ban tune that echoes through the streets, the name of which no one can remember. The cider drinker and the scrumpy jack painting us on the walls of our history.
Sorry, that's like, well, it's about 6 minutes, isn't it?
No, it's about 2.
No, no. No, you're fine. You're fine.
I want to
thank you, Mel. Next up in line, can we please have Mr. Finbar Armani? He's still downstairs. Thank you, ladies. Next up, can we have Mr. Finbar Armani? Thanks very much. Let's say thanks to Niall as well for his poetry. It's absolutely stunning. It's a pretty short one, but I kind of wrote it last week, so I'm going to try it out and I'll be aware. Okay, it's called Unrequited. Oh, this unrequited love has bitten me like a bad glove. I wish I could remove it, loosen the corset of emotion, express the freedom of devotion. You are the muse I choose to guide and abide me on this many splintered path of life and love. Okay, it's going to get very dark here now. It's a poem about temptation. I'm sure we've all suffered from that many a time.
Yeah, by all.
It's called the Devil on Your Shoulder. I am the devil on your shoulder, the one to make you bolder. I am the wicked, witten freak, the type of guy you should never meet. Here to give you instruction to the path of terrible destruction. It's a vicious dichotomy, the one world for you and me. The cruel twist of fate, from good to evil and light unto dark. I rule with the fists of hate, invoking terror in the afterlife. Endless evil, horror and strife. I am the devil on your shoulder, only your good faith can make me smolder. I was the devil on your shoulder, blown away by the merciful angel sitting on your right shoulder. Thanks very much. Thank God for that. Thanks, Finbar. Next up, Mr. Paddy Riley. Sorry, Reedy. Paddy Reedy. My apologies.
I've written this yesterday. I was called it Rogue Trader. I was saying this was put together a few weeks ago. So it's called My Cash, C-S-C-H-E. I have a little crock of gold to teach where none can see. When very soon I must retire, how happy I will be. I'd like to tell you where it is, but to trust I cannot dare. I admire you and like you, but I have to be beware. And when I sleep and dream at night, I count my little hoard. I grunt and smirk with happiness, yet I think I only snored. I add a little every week to this wondrous fund of mine. It's all aside for the rainy day. So far, all's nice and fine. And when I come to 65, and they say I have to go, I look so sad. At home I drive, but my cheeks with joy will glow. I'll buy a gleaming, brand new car, and a house with a southern view. I'll dine and drink in the local bar with the money that's hidden the loo. Oh Lord, they've given the game away. Let the cat right out the bag. No more in the loo can my money stay. Why ever did I have to brag? I think I'll walk down to the bank, lodge the money safe inside, then with all the rich I rank, and gain interest there besides. Lo, I think the bank might disapprove of those glowing £5 notes. I wonder how I came by them. They've been missing from their floats. They could put me into jail for years, their employee and best chum. Yet perhaps they're too embarrassed be to have been fooled by one so dumb. So I won't go near the bank today. I'll walk a little farther and talk to the guy just up the street who knows all about Hans Becker.
Pastor John Ryan.
Rich. I've done a series of these house ones, so I'll just do two tonight. I think the first one is number 3. And there was another house, now going through all sorts of change again. It was the days before Forecourt, a little shop attached to a house, petrol pumps out front. In a shed around the back, exhaust were fitted, brakes checked. Before that again, it was a schoolhouse, in the days of slate and chalk and barefoot boys. 50 scholars to a room in old-style desks. A cane available to flick through the air, and the dunce's hat waiting in the corner. Today, new requirements. A second bathroom, treble glazing, clean peels, a mock exterior, not quite a hacienda. Yet this house must be Hindu-esque, rising up from the Dalat, now firmly amongst the mercantile, standing still in defiance, past transitionary annoyance. And this is another extract from the series, I forget which number it is. At the bottom of the village a derelict house lay. It had been so 20 years when I was a boy. My father had seen the roof cave in years before. A definite air inhabited the spot. A public water pump across the road, also long in disuse, awaited some form of decoration. Left hanging, a reminder of a social history just beneath our new surface. Crows roost there now, with no competition from residents. Mosses grow, and grasses peep through the flagstones. Kids sometimes jump in through the windows in a game of jeopardy. When winter comes, the plaster splinters, causing additional holes to appear. Portholes to the times now past, the days of every Friday fast and high mass. Days when the dispensary dealt with the sick, and the days of hay ricks. The corner of many a village, with little of what it would be grants, schemes, or rural plans.
Alright, I know we've had several times last week, but I'm mostly short and sweet. This is called I'm Not Being Schizophrenic. You know, this is a telling story of one time. It exists in my head alone. Reality is it just bores me. If I can do it without you, a deep email in the house. A private conversation with me alone. Instilling about a panorama of hills, making it actually more less dangerous. Streamlining things with the judges on buses on the home stretch. You, however, are needlessly worried. For I am gentle and a soft lamb, one who bears weight of sin, and properly of blood and stillness. This is what comes of releasing the mind. A brief black room tied to hire in case, God forbid, it should escape. For fear of catastrophe of millions, and the cat calls of more. As I know the conspirators will do well, there is their fault for thinking ill and making a war about me. Strangulation and brief.
Block, Boston, Hank. Is it contagious? That's all this time tonight, thank you. Next up, can we have Byrne?
Call the bag, ladies. In three plastic bags, I carry him around. He never wants from guns, splattered with fruit, apples, strawberries, plums. Daddy gave them to me, then he got lung cancer. So I kept those bags like he was part of them. He is the apple green and ripe, crushed in the boot of my 121. He is the strawberry, red and full, hacking blood and coughing phlegm. He is the plum, purple and full, bursting with life while withering within. I took those bags from Johanna to California, strolled down Valencia, palm trees swaying, bags swinging, saying, look at me, you must know where I'm from. Can't you see the fruit bag, apples, strawberries, plums? Don't you recognize his dying face in everyone? Those bags are now 5 years old. Every rip, every crease, every fold shows its age. Fruit dripping to the floor through a hole, the handles worn and taped and daddy gone, deep in the ground. No fruit exists.
Let's see now.
Yeah. Those bags are now 5 years old. Every rip, every crease and fold shows its age. Fruit dripping on the floor through a hole, the handles worn and taped and daddy gone, deep in the ground. No fruit exists, no juice-stained lips or syrupy chin, just packed in under the earth, while three plastic bags lie crumpled in the dirt. He was the apple green and ripe, he was the strawberry red and bright, he was the plum bursting with life. In three plastic bags I carry him around, you know the ones splattered with fruit, apples, strawberries, plums, apples, strawberries, plums.
Stephen Cook. Okay, I met Byrne 2.5 years ago at a Quirk Festival, Hans Langer's outside there. What was it? City Hall?
Yeah,
Tad
Hall, Tad
Hall. Yeah. Can't tell me what I did that. Anyway. Thanks for having Cook. Next up, we have next week's MC, Jennifer Matthews.
Cool. Enjoy the lovely lady. So, if you wanted to make your 5-word poems, I'll have to take a euro off of you for each one. And they will go towards the poem you wrote there. Okay, so the first one is called Scavenger Hunt. Priceless is useless nowadays. It's survival of the egoist. This is the age of the scavenger. Holidaying on the cheap in former war zones, taking excursions after natural disasters. I fill the tank with the bones of liquid history and fly there faster. I crave blood diamonds to scratch worse into my precious days, their hard light refracting over stones of stolen temples. Elgin sees, and I pay my fees to take a honeymoon photo of history. I surf strangers' pages and ignore my neighbors, and rather than take a moment for some soft act of creation, I feed on some old carcass broadcast by a global TV station. Okay. This is a work in progress, it's the second incarnation. I want to explain it because of time, but it's to do with the Odyssey, and I got very interested in the character of John Telemachus, who's kind of torn between his parents' lack of ability to take action to help him out. So, the name is Telemachus. In this woven womb, I gestate disintegration, watching down the suitors she won't refuse, consume my birthright like politicians. You sailed too soon, father. I can't hold your scepter. And this harbor is stagnant. No one will make the first move. Deference is a tactic to win you a slow demise as you watch your livelihood retreat towards this meeting moment. This hungry you, pig after pig of my future is being slaughtered before me, and the patriarch has fucked off again, his itch to leave insatiable, longing, thronging blood, pointing him beyond home, plow my ass. His rotting, creaking throne is a coffin to me while I'm in this limbo. Yes, I pushed out of the grassy room, but I have to steal a ship to pursue my father's vain voyage. And when I'm big enough to put both of you back in your respective places, you only demand I leave you again. Thanks.
Next up, we have Mr. Billy Randall.
Hello. I know there's a lot of time pressure tonight, but I don't give a shit. I'm gonna keep on going, man. The first one is by Robert Frost. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold the gold that favors fire. But it'll have to perish twice. I think that for our destruction, ice is also great. And with the time. I just want to know in general, and
Robert Service.
George, you haven't heard yet, buddy. That's it. This poem is dedicated to the poem written to the muse of poetry. I want to dedicate it to all of you people who sacrificed something for your art. You fucking fools. I sacrificed nothing for it anyway so far. Except maybe a little sleep. But this is addressed to the muse of poetry. I waited 10 years for her beauty in this house I built by the water. Gave up my career, forgot my duty to my son, to my unborn daughter. The night when she came smelled like nectar. I sang her flowers, kissed her sweet tears. There were other nights. I could recollect the endless waving, the cold bed, the years. So long. Where is the rest of my life? I cannot imagine the face of my daughter. I will wander the roads in search of my wife, my son, who calls another man father.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, next up to the open mic, Mr. Seamus Harrington.
Nice night. That's pure magic. Damn you. This is the title. Again and again, faint but clear, clear as the luminous frost, clear as the starry heavens, the message repeated in hope. Repeated in hope, repeated in hope, message repeated in hope. Much, much too late for too many, yet due to Morse code, hundreds of souls are plucked from the icy brink. From the icy brink, from the icy brink, plucked from the icy brink. Again, Marconi's newfangled device responds in disbelief to the rescue. In disbelief to the rescue, in disbelief to the rescue, responds in disbelief to the rescue. But wireless history was made and quickly forgot for saving that small ship SS Mini Haha. Three small prayers. First one for Moses. Help me, St. Christopher. You're still there? To steer clear of flats, potholes, toll booths, pushy bikers, speed traps, and slow coaches. To await my turn coolly, fumeless from road rage, at snarl-ups and traffic handling measures. To drive as if I was to meet myself coming from the opposite direction. To find a fitting parking space an unlevered zone, disc and clamp free amend. Strikers. Long distance roadies, refugees from boredom, straddling broad saddles, heavy duty four strokes, devoted hell's angels, we have heard on High Street, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us to evil, Knievel, Stunfight, lookalike.
Amen.
Regatta prayer. Help us, O Lord, to go straight to where we're not looking. Steer us not into temptation of looking where we're rowing and in.
Amen, Seamus. Next up, Emery Granfield.
It was that Lord who gave me that quality of life that made that kept all stars in the sky, that made the ashes rise up. Oh my God, what a gift to get. Oh my God, what a gift to get. You with ventriloquist ways make me smile and burst into laughter. It is in that moment, in that time, as the dust settles, that I suddenly have to see the world.
Thank you, Emery. Next up to the other mic, we have Mr. Gene Barry.
I was up in Limerick with John Liddy having a few pints about 5 o'clock in the morning last August. And Edward was there. We were rambling away about the late 70s, about various things, and I mentioned a woman from Limerick who played traditional music. I had a talk up here at the Simon Park, and he just reached into his pocket and took out the book he'd just launched, and The Whale. And this poem was dedicated for her. And she died in the Shannon, the River Shannon, in 1978. And I wrote this walking back to where I was staying about 5 in the morning. So it's called A Kennedy Moment, and it's for John Liddy. Mary, my lips hadn't dressed your name in a multitude of decades. Not until you perched yourself between us tonight, landing yourself on a Republican map. It was a Kennedy moment. Etching wasn't deep enough to hold you. The memories danced to polkas, reels and jigs, and were held in volumes of uninterrupted slow airs. When I looked again, I noticed that the tide had ebbed, and a seed bag of torment had discharged itself. You wore the same smile that introduced you to us in the Phoenix Bar in 1977, when your lips seduced the plastic tips and drove a decade of fingers to entertain us. Jesus, you were great. My memory fumbles and fumbles in its recall till you excavated a hunk of deep board and an inappropriate memories. Until you excavated a hunk of deep boards and unmarried memories and exercised an unwelcome landscape that had found an inappropriate home. I left my horse and danced my way through Limerick Street that once held your stride and winked at the variety of unwritten facts that hold you now, unwittingly ordering a confluence of memories to entertain themselves. Later today I'll drive to Cork, and on my way, I'll erect the cortege of finger posts to you and bless them for the lifetime for acceptance. Thank you.
Daddy. 4 years old, no daddy bold, to throw her in the air, to buy her dolls and spinning tops and ribbons for her hair. No daddy is need to climb upon when tears come tumbling down. No manly smile to cheer her up and take away her frown. A silent, secret longing keeps a sigil in her heart, and no one knows the sadness that's behind her little laugh. All little kids are fallen, that's as plain as it could be, though some are grumpy, some are cross. Any kind will do, you see. To meet her after school someday, so all the girls would know, she has a daddy just like them, but that cannot be so. He won't be there if she grows up, all through the teenage years, to tell about her romance and listen to his jealous tears, to wear his best pullover when some night his back is turned, to wheedle money with a smile, joke with when toast is burned. And when her big day comes along, in crowns of white and pearl, she misses him then most of all, though she's never been his girl.
Thank you, Cora. Next up can we have Mr. Patrick Cutter.
Some poor woman within Kennedy terribly drove into the Chappaquiddick River. Is that you meant by Kennedy? When he was running for the Democratic nomination for presidency himself, campaigning on Three Mile Island, addressing to the Republican put out bumper sticker that said more people died in Chappaquiddick than in Three Mile Island. Poor kid never got the president. Seems to be one of the conventions tonight to announce when you wrote whatever you're going to read, so this is something like tossed off sometime last century. A tigress is a girl who breakfasts in your bed without eating you. A tigress is a girl whose first nakedness is the perfection of her shoulders quaking your heart. A tigress is a girl with claws as sharp as gentleness touching you. A tigress is a girl with kisses like Chinese torturers scorching you. A tigress is a girl with hair as russet as the walnut scent which lulls you. A tigress is a girl with eyes as dark as dreamless sleep enshrouding you. A tigress is a girl who licks up all your purring like milk before leaving you. A tigress is a girl whose image echoes in your head like a roar affrighting you. A tigress is a girl who is camouflaged in the jungle of her own emotions, eluding you.
Any tigresses out there tonight? Next up, could we please welcome Mr. Alan Tetu.
Patrick was talking about the chatty tigers there, I think. I thought I'd read a poem about a cat as well. This is a poem that has been translated many, many times from the Old Irish, and it's a language that not too many people speak anymore. I'm sure he said, "Grandma, nobody will contradict me." It's been translated, it's Pangerborn, basically. It's been translated by Frank O'Connor and Evan Boland and Seamus Heaney and Paul Muldoon and even W.H. Auden. So I thought, well, why wouldn't I ever go as well? And I changed the name slightly from Panger to Conquer because I'm told by Old Irish scholars that there was no P in Old Irish. And strictly speaking, it would have been Conquer, not Panger. So I call it Conquer and the Shaving. So this is how it goes, my version of it. Me and Conquer, my fair puss, singularly together, both of us, do our job, mine at learning, his chasing, exterminating vermin. More than fame, Nobel Prizes, I crave peace up beside me. Conquer knows where I'm coming from. He too sings his rattle and hum. When at work we are not bored, he scrawls and I scroll the tricks of both our trades, the prayer and the prayed. Sometimes a mouth ends in a maw, like falling into my saintly claw, the gift of knowledge, summary's bugger, after stalking, mastication and struggle. His cat's eyes, a piercing awl, on the road to my study wall, he directs my feeble, boring eyes, try to crawl from truth, from lies. A holy spy then, bang, snatch, the cavity doesn't sink, he acts. Me? I prefer to slowly rise with knowledge than go and write. This Moggy, my lovely puss, he knows the way we must be. He might chase a bird. I seek just the right mod word. He does daily his own thing as his holy right. This links him to me, his ceaseless mewing as bright as me, darkly musing.
Next up, to repeat that, Mr. Padre Gasparavan. Are you here? Okay. Padre Gasparavan.
So, I thought about this poem I read myself actually, about 4 years ago, and I actually wrote it tonight. It's got two titles. The first one is A Vague Revelation, and the second title is One of Many Revelations of the Young Man. I had a thought one day, and it was a special thought. It stemmed from my disillusionment with my father and our relationship at home. I asked, what is the point of being? Or trying to impress him? It doesn't even evoke the slightest externally conveyed expression of appreciation or admiration or pride or soap. It was a moment in time. But the effect reverberated into many more moments. From there on, I realized my independence for the first time and have lived with it ever since. That's that. Trees are coming into leaf, like something almost being sick. Their recent buds relax and spread. Their greenness is a kind of grief. Is it that they are born again and we grow old? No, they die too. Their yearly trick of looking new, it's looking down in winds of grain. Yet still the resting castles fresh in full-grown sickness, every May. Last year is dead, they seem to say. Begin, afresh, afresh, afresh.
Thank you, Padre. Next up, could the teacher have Mr. Dean Adedipa. Is that right, Adedipa? Dean Adedipa.
Crossroads, and the first one called shoulder. You came. You came. We saw, we hungered. Together we found this and found. We thought that we came very far. You were to leave. We lingered, hung up, hung on. The parting was ever too soon. I not see for another trouble. This illusion so sweet, your fortune enabled us for future to meet. Giving insight into those pains presently giving us grief. Emboldened, I behaved like a predatory thief. Couldn't take my eyes the minute off you. Your eyes in flashing seconds told me. Me too. What was not ours to take our treasure? Our rationality was not working for measure. I had this fixation, it wouldn't go away, but for honor, not to lead you astray. For the new London, that it is used not to run into seizure, continue to apply all the principles, bitter, sweet, pleasure. Nothing indecent came to pass, thus able to be who we really want to be, thus being able to really let go, feel free, acknowledging the fact that we felt so right, but as for my view, came to me to live. Never been in this situation before. Flirting with a woman I know to be yours. With evidence, 3 months, crossing in front. But no regrets I have expressed. But experience unique, mystical and surreal. Cherished for a lifetime occurrence. To lose some souls and wisdom. Not a blink. A blink for the second fraction, yet a lot transpires therein. There is not a human that is but affected by this poetic, involuntary reflex, which steals upon the victim at will when due, just as his skin, the clues, his knees, the dose, and the mind unconscious, numerous feet. A short dress of reality. To be for seconds, for minutes, for many hours, man becomes oblivious of events surrounding him. Not so with our Creator above. His majesty is not in contest from this, pervading awareness so complete. The excellency of the all-knowing of things, the one and only, peerless only, who is afflicted and not afflicted.
Next up, could we have Miss or Mrs. I'm not sure, Jill O'Keefe.
Yes,
right. Miss Jill O'Keefe.
Yes. God. I'm laughing myself from the last half hour. Oh my God, what am I going to read? Okay, so this all falls apart. I apologize. I've drunk so much in the last 20 minutes, waiting for this moment. Okay, I'm going to try for two. The second one is very, it's got lots of motion. Okay, words. It's always too many or too few. Try to say the most important things and it fucks up for you. Can't say what I want to say, just don't know how to. I am a sad, I'm not alone, enveloped in the crowd, but isolated, don't know how, in silence, I scream loud. I thought words would come easily to someone such as I. They come out only faltering as seen through stone eyes. Why did I come back here? What did I want to do? My life is running rhythms through my head. It's like a soup. I'm writing, talking, meaningless. I don't give myself away. I'm doing so. I'm threatening someone else's happy day. I open up the window to let the swarms in. They cover my body and tune me in sin. They engulf my fervor, sap sight from my eyes, stop drying my endeavor, soak up all my lies. Creeping, crawling, twitching, convulsing, or mass blood taps my leg. Stop! It will pass. Okay, cool. So this is me jumping around poem, okay? Okay, so I'm just going to do what I planned out today. And stop, and stop beating about. Thump the thud, a hefty cloud. You rock, I rock,
All the roar, fighting justice, rule the floor, piss a piss. Flying fox apologize, heads that duck, grabbing, pushing, pound the fist. All chaos, order, be ignored. No, I missed the line. No, sorry, I'll try it again, because the rhythm is all what it's like, and I won't jump because it fucks it up. Okay. Pent up, sent up, beating about, a thump, a thud, a hefty clout, you rock, I rock, all a roar, fighting just to rule the floor, a pit of fists and flying fucks, a fall, a dive, heads set up, grabbing, pushing, pounding floors, all chaos, order, be ignored.
You're not trying to start anything, are you?
No.
Okay. Next up to the mic, we have Mr. Brian O'Murphy.
I said I'd try something new or different this week and not write the poem down. And yeah, I think that's far at the moment. So here goes, it was called, actually it doesn't have it, I did 5 minutes ago, but it's gone now.
So are you in like a Hare Krishna?
I was meditating. But no, I am not a Hare Krishna. Although I've spent the last 3 hours chanting the Maha Mantra. So are you like a Buddhist? No, I am not a Buddhist. But inner eye tells me always that I am the Buddha. In nature. So are you like a Christian? Even Jesus wasn't a Christian. So what are you? What's your religion? You know, sometimes even God doesn't have a religion. Thank you, Brian. Next up, could we please have Mr. Aaron Lewis?
I really need to go to the toilet now, so I wrote a poem about when you really need to go for it, the number one. So it's a haiku, and it goes something like this. Unzip my release, the one-eyed snake laughs again. Elation at last. Thank you. Today I wrote a poem about the statue on the bar. Stone carved with exactitude, looking, observing the poet. The light shines and bounces off its smoothly rounded eyes. The long mouth closed, large round nostrils the size of 2 euro coins, sat upon a chrome shaft, emotionless. No sound, observant. The care and precision, the time it will have taken to sculpt this animal head. An animal no longer wild, used by men for work and gambling. I fed many in my time. Beautiful, strong, long, fast, slender beings. A thick grey stone with dimples and pockmarks grazing his surface. No words, only silence and presence. Some say that the statue was always there. All the sculpture did was chip away the rough edges. Is that all we need to do, chip away our rough edges, to be realized? Disgraceful being shaped into sedimentary rock, years of decaying matter solidified together as we are, the product of the sediment of past, the process of millions of years, an ice age here, a volcano erupts there, and the statue still stares emotionless, present aware. I wonder, does it know? The question maybe is, do I know his observations? What has he saw? Painted by brush, written by pen, formed by chisel and hammer. The deep riches and character emerges from the slab. A flowing mystery will unfold in the ink and sculpture's tomb.
Do you know what he was talking about? Huh? Yeah? That fellow over there, yeah. He's actually been staring at us constantly since we began here. It's kind of freaky if you think about it. Hold up the microphone to him sometimes. Thanks, Aaron. Could we please have next up to the open mic, Mr. George Harney.
This isn't from the heart of one. Well, I was fascinated to meet that fellow from Seafomer, Niall McCarthy, said it tonight that he could be in Taiwan or something. Bob Dylan could go to the anywhere. I have to be in front of the fire. The log plant and all that stuff. Searching for the new. Great searching for the new. This is called Night Words. I dreamt of words that fell into my head. Boxes all wrapped up, gifted from the dead. These words rose me up, stabbed me awake. I knew I was alive, the dead began to shake. Cracks came in the board, the words slipped in, got lost among the cobwebs, dark and dreary skin. The spider darted out with words upon his back. I offered him a fly, he dropped through a crack. Now I tried to separate the green from the lie, splintered my thumbnail, the sinking web to side. The spider knit the web, dreaming his intricate dreams from the hull of the universe come ripples and rings. Thanks.
This is the shortest bonus we've had in months, right? Fantastic. We've got about 15 minutes before we're going to keep us out of here. We've got one person left on the open mic. So, if there's anyone else who'd like to get up to that telephone, I can put you on there now if you want to go. Otherwise, you can just enjoy the last few minutes and... Yeah? Okay, I'll get you on there. Anyone else? Just give me a shout. Anyway, next up to the open mic, Mr. Liam Kiley.
Manipulating us all, telling us we're little angels, how to live our sorry lives. I'm sorry for nothing at all, no. Thank you very much, my sweetness, for being truly wicked one and showing me for who I really am. You enjoyed the game too, I'm sure of that, in your cute and cunning little way. This is called Pig. Mr. Pig grunts and shits when he's 20 pounds of food.
That's all he goes out there really, smokes about, more or less. It's no great to be a pig, I know where you belong.
Thank you. And next up, Mr. Mark O'Brien.
This is about a colleague of mine who I know is a bit of an individualist and operating in a pretty rigid system. It's called the Girl College from a planet unknown. Columbus, Cortez, John Smith, Joanne Gould. Explore the unknown world. You were never born. You exist by being, being open, being carefree, being individual. You are an enigma to the supremes of human evolution. Pride is rendered speechless in paralysis by deficiencies in your own analysis. Using this perplexed, if you are the apple of heaven's eye, or perhaps Aristotle's whisper echoes in your ear, time is motion. It is the flow of the arrow across the sky. Are you that arrow following John Harrison and his vision through lines of longitude and latitude, all the while smiling at Galileo and his clock? Are you an alien to an unknown planet? I beg to differ. I see the mirror that is you, reflecting beauty from the inside out. I agree with Shakespeare. And thou I cease to glow in such fire.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Is anyone else in the other mic? There's one more person over there, but no one else after that, no? Okay. Then last but not least, Mr. Brian McElroy.
As long as you're all free to appreciate the moment in all one way. Thank you.